long, we're going to think it's Monday, and then we're going to find out it's Tuesday, and yay! Everyone have a good, long, happy Memorial weekend, whatever you did with whoever you did it with.
Yeah, we kind of took it easy because, you know, we just got back from vacation, so I was like, let's just chill, and that was good.
Yeah.
We did watch the Wild game on the projector, Friday night, and that was kind of a bummer, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, well, we're not revisiting bummers. We're only revisiting fun.
Yes.
Julia?
So, I had a great weekend at the cabin.
You did? Mm-hmm. Nice.
I did. I had a great, mellow, wonderful weekend.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I was up in the Northland. I was up in Ely for the first time in 3 years. You know that Burnside Lake is the most beautiful lake in the world.
To you.
It really is, though. So, oh, it's just a happy place. It's just so stunning up there. And, here's the thing, like if you were a young person who loved the North Woods and Boundary mm-hmm. Waters, they don't have enough people to work the restaurants and stuff.
So go up there for the summer and live?
Yeah, if you wanted to like have...
That's happening in the cities.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying like if you don't maybe like the city kind of a thing...
And you want to try something different?
I stepped in to say hi to Lou and Lonnie at the Burnside Lodge. And of course, last year, the big, fancy, pretty dining room was closed because of COVID. And this year, they're doing, like, takeout meals, but they can't find enough staff to open the restaurant. And so, anyway.
This is a problem, though, everywhere.
I know.
And up north, especially, Laura, you can't even find anyone to fix anything at your places.
Doesn't a lot of places up north, whenever I go to Grand Marais, it seems like there's a lot of Eastern European kids that come for the summer.
Yeah.
And work the restaurants, and I bet you they can't even get over here, right?
Probably not.
Oh, there you go. Rocco, the old exchange programs aren't happening. I know, I'm watching the French Open right now, and they still have a 9 o'clock curfew. So the night games have no audiences. And I was watching Serena play last night, and there's no audience.
Yeah.
And people are still wearing masks, and they're outside.
Yeah.
Still wearing masks and having curfew.
I guess we're lucky.
We're very lucky how far we are with the vaccines.
Yeah.
Because other countries are so far behind us. Well, it was weird watching it, you know?
Right. It just, you know, I don't know. I guess we all love our 3-day weekends. They feel very rejuvenating.
Please. I had a 4-day weekend.
Yes, you did, because you were gone on Friday. You were really super relaxed.
I loved
it. Except you weren't as relaxed as I would have thought you would have been because of phone problems. Isn't that always a thing, though? When your phone is on the fritz, it drives you nuts.
It does.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It just is a thing.
It's a thing that affects everybody because it's your life.
It is.
Unfortunately.
I did go to the movie theater. I went to Grandview Theater with Casey on Friday night to see A Quiet Place 2.
And did it deliver?
It, you guys, it is amazing.
It is
better than the first.
I've heard that.
Okay, better in the way that you're more scared or better
it's
in how?
You know, that movie is a suspenseful movie. And we had Chris Hewitt on Friday. And he said, I think he said, I'm quoting him, the story goes in interesting places that we don't expect. And he said that really is a testament to how good John Krasinski is at setting up the story, making sound be a third character, if you will.
Right, because it's all quiet.
Well, it's quiet and it's noisy.
Yeah.
And I screamed out loud a half a dozen times.
Was the theater where there were a lot of people
there? The theater was as full as it could be last Friday night because there was still like, it was every other row.
Right.
And popcorn and milk duds were everywhere. Everybody was eating stuff. Everyone was so happy. It was just.
It did really well at the box office.
It did huge business.
Yep.
$57 million. Mm-hmm. And Cruella actually did okay, but, you know, it's also available on Disney for $30. But
how did Cruella do? How many?
Like $22 million. Right. But it crushed it. And it was. I saw 6 trailers. I was so happy.
Oh my gosh, it seems like such a weird thing to even say that we're so happy to go to the movie theater and have this happen. I'm so happy.
Casey and I always, we have a bet. 3, 4, 5, you know, it's just a silly bet, you know. So I guessed 3 and he guessed 6.
How many trailers they were going to show and they talked during them. Because you can talk
during the trailer.
Rocco, that's their rule.
Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
I'm with you
on
that.
And then you do the thumbs up, thumbs down.
No, the thumb sideways, whether you want to see it. So, and the movie that looked really good is the one with Dev Patel, kind of this magical sorcerer sort of a thing. He's in it. I can't remember any of the names of these movies, but they all, I would say, gave 4 thumbs up out of 6.
Really?
It was just, I love trailers. I forgot how much I love a trailer. Well,
going to the movie theater is so much fun.
Yeah, and this was, you know, it was everything.
So it delivered. And it
delivered.
Was just,
and it delivered.
Do you see a part 3 now? A Quiet, Quiet, Quiet Place?
I am not saying a thing. No spoilers here. But it is just, John Krasinski is amazing. I think the movie's at 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think, kind of like you said, and I'm not a scary movie guy, but to be in this movie and to want to keep quiet and then have everybody else in the theater with you also want to keep quiet, it kind of makes the movie.
It adds the atmosphere.
Yeah, and yeah. I didn't realize that the girl who plays his daughter in real life is deaf.
Oh,
actress. And it just is, it's unbelievable. And Emily Blunt is incredible in it. And Cillian Murphy, if you ever watched Peaky Blinders,
he's been in lots of movies. Yes.
He's in the movie.
Oh, he is.
And
my kids like him.
And the one thing I will say that I don't think is a spoiler because the movie starts out right away like this is that we see day one.
Okay.
How it starts, which we didn't see in Quiet Place 2 because it just sort of picks up like something has already happened.
Okay, so you get to know the beginning of time, whatever the Quiet Place is.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
It was just excellent. And it was just like we were both, Casey and I were giddy to be going
to
the theater.
So fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Now, Rocco, were you into Harry Potter movies?
Not really. My kid read the books. I think we watched a movie or two, but it didn't.
Well, they were having a marathon, and so my son's up with his girlfriend at the cabin. They love Harry Potter.
Yeah, they're.
And then
the
we
right
found
age.
Out yeah. that our TV at the cabin could record now, which was a new feature. So I had to watch a lot of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so good. They're so clever, those movies. And I never got into them. The kids got into the books and stuff, and I wasn't in the movies. But I was like, oh, gosh, do we have to watch it again? You know, there's a million of the movies.
Was it rainy?
It was rainy. Sunday was super rainy, and then it cleared up at night, and yesterday was beautiful. Saturday was beautiful, but Sunday was just like a shot day.
Stay
it
inside.
It was sit at the TV.
Right.
Station and play cards and password.
Yeah.
Which is very funny with younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get your password clues.
There's a game at the cabin that I was at, What's Your Meme? But I didn't play it.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
Have you guys heard that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of nice weather. One big storm rolled through on, like, Saturday night and kind of forget like how much fun that is to watch a big boomer storm up north. And, of course, everyone gets nervous. You know, lightning, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting on the deck at the Johnson Island. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, well, that is the smokiest fire I've ever seen. Why would anyone want to make that smoky fire? Anyway, it was a tree on fire. Lightning hit a tree and set it on fire. So they had the fire thing. And there was another fire like a week earlier on Burnside that happened. And just super... That was the big super excitement.
Well,
tree on fire. But I'm sure other people called it in, but I pointed it out to the cabin owner. I said, that seems like a very smoky fire these people are having. Are they burning a tire? And he goes, there's no cabin over there. Get in the boat. Let's go see what's going on.
Oh, really? She went and investigated.
You need to get a smoky commendation or something from Smoky Bear.
I saw a bear.
You might have saved a forest.
Oh, you did?
I saw a bear. All right, excuse me. All right, I forgot to tell you this.
Because I've seen bears at your place.
I know, but I didn't see it near my place. I saw it near the golf course. So I was... trying. It was such a murky day Sunday, and I'm like, I gotta get exercise. I brought my damn bike. I'm gonna use it. So I'm plotting out my bike ride and get on my bike. And last thing my son says to me, watch out for the bears, because they know my panic for bears. My whole life at the cabin has been, what do I do if I see a bear?
Right.
So I ended up seeing a bear yesterday at the same place I rode on my bike.
On a trail?
On the road. It was on the road, but it wasn't on the main road. I went on smaller roads, but it was over by the golf course. In the tennis court.
How far away?
6 miles. But there's a bear.
You can see it.
Totally. Walked right across the road in front of us.
OMG.
So I was like, wow, there's a bear. And then I saw today driving home the smallest baby deer. It didn't even have spots or anything. A big, big mama. And then it looked like a dog.
Newborn?
Yeah. I've never seen a deer that small in my life. was so cute. So I just had some nature.
Fauna, flora, and hopefully no wood ticks.
None. Lucked.
All right,
we
listen.
We did a lot of those checks.
We'll be right back with our story we can't get enough of. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. This may be the first and only time that we've had the cataclysmic clashing of a huge sports story involving tennis, your sport, Julia, and then just... like, really, just like the whole sports world just is going crazy. Will Reeve from GMA is going to set up the story. And it's about Naomi Osaka withdrawing from the French Open after, we'll just call it the mental health showdown that she had. Mm-hmm. And I believe we talked about it Thursday before you left. Where she just said she wasn't going to go to the press conferences. But we'll let Will tie it together.
Naomi Osaka saying au revoir to the French Open, announcing she's taking some time away from the court. Writing on Twitter, I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players, and my well-being is that I withdraw. I never wanted to be a distraction. The bombshell coming a day after the number two ranked player in the world was fined $15,000 for refusing to attend a post-match press conference on Sunday, instead giving a brief courtside interview.
I'm really glad that I won, and it's a very beautiful court.
The 23-year-old now revealing she's battled long bouts of depression and anxiety since being thrust into the limelight at the 2018 U.S. Open, where she beat Serena Williams in an instant classic final.
U.S. Open champion, instant star.
After Williams was docked a game penalty by the chair umpire, the crowd directing its wrath toward the umpire and indirectly toward Osaka. After Osaka won it all, she stood emotional under a towel as a chorus of boos filled Arthur Ashe Stadium.
We're going to get through this and let's be positive. So congratulations, Naomi. No more booing.
Whoa. Okay.
So I don't remember that.
Oh, I do.
Tell us about, so there was, who got, she got booed for beating
her? It was her first final and she played Serena Williams, and the age difference between those guys is almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so Naomi beats Serena, and Serena had a...
at the U.S. Open.
At the U.S. Open here in New York. And Serena had a lot of hissy fits during that game. She believes she was treated unfairly by the referee, but she was very, she had unsportsmanlike conduct that I've never seen out of her before until that. And so here is this.
I remember us talking about
tennis
this.
Player playing her idol, who is breaking down and doing everything you're not supposed to do during tennis, like John McEnroe style from the
80s. Yeah.
And then she wins, she beats her idol, and then she gets booed, and she's so.
And they showed the thing of her standing with a towel on her face as the chorus of boos. And what is she, 18?
Yeah, she's ashamed of winning, happy she won, sad she beat her idol. She's in awe of her idol, who
and
has
is
just
she
been
ashamed
a
big... because, like, maybe she thinks Serena is, like, basically saying you didn't deserve this win because she was having
there
all these
so
fits?
Much going on. So I can see where that first, her first big launch of stardom just fanned the flames of this young woman feeling uncomfortable. But when we talked about it, she's a very good tennis player. She's great on hard surfaces. Clay, which is the French Open, which is going on right now, is not her specialty.
She won yesterday.
She won her first match. Yeah she did.
Before she went through. Well, let's finish the story with Will.
Mm-hmm. On Monday, Serena voicing her support for Osaka once again after her decision to leave the tournament.
I feel for Naomi. I feel like I wish I could give her a hug because I know what it's like. Everyone is different and everyone handles things differently. You just have to let her handle it the way she wants to. And I think she's doing the best that she can.
Osaka honest about her struggles with depression after losing a 2018 match in Charleston.
Like yesterday, I just woke up and I was really depressed, but I don't know why. Like, I'm so sad right now.
Now, Osaka's fellow players sharing their support, praising the four-time Grand Slam champion. 17-year-old American star Coco Gauff tweeting, "Stay strong. I admire your vulnerability." And trailblazing legend Billie Jean King writing, "It's incredibly brave that Naomi Osaka has revealed her truth about her struggle with depression. Right now, the important thing is that we give her the space and time she needs." Experts in sports psychology calling Osaka's withdrawal an opportunity for positive change in the industry.
We don't find athletes for pulled hamstrings or blood clots. Why would we find someone for a mental health issue?
Hmm. Is that it? Is there more?
I know. I think that's okay. It. And you know, I didn't realize until all of this came out, like really kind of that she became a global superstar overnight.
She did.
I did not realize she's the highest paid female athlete.
$50 million last year.
On the planet.
She had a huge year.
And that she represents a country that's never claimed a tennis player of such magnitude. I mean, there is no playbook.
No, there isn't. And so what happened, why this all started, is that she decided, and she tweeted it out, that she was not...
I think it was an Insta story.
Or an Insta story, mm-hmm. whatever. That she wasn't going to do press because she thinks that the press was, you know, they're just going to ask me questions that I'm going to get asked by everybody else and it's going to make me feel insecure. So I spent a lot of time digesting this.
Right.
Listening to everybody's comments.
You are a resident tennis pro.
Well, and it comes, you know, tennis is an individual sport. You don't have the whole team. You know, if you win, it's you. If you lose, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically reading some different people, and we talked to Patrick Roycey today, and there's a lot of different feelings about what is going on here. But basically it was mishandled from the start that if her people, which you know she has an agent, if she made $50 million, and a lot of it's endorsement money, could have reached out to the French Open ahead of time and said, how can we handle this? She's really struggling, but yet she's a top tennis player. Right. We want her to be there and you want her to be there.
Right.
How can we work this together instead of her just, going out with a statement without...
Or what if she had just... Said nothing and just decided not to go to the press conference.
It just made so much, and it was the topic of everyone who was interviewed. What do you think of this? It became bigger. The story became bigger than...
But did it become a standoff with some stubbornness on the side of the tennis authorities or whatever?
The authorities are saying, this is what the deal is. Mm. Tennis is about stories of the individuals. And if you don't share yours, you're going to get fined.
What are the lessons, Julia, that we've learned here?
Well, one of the big things is that, I've read so many different things about her. She's brilliant on hard courts. She doesn't fare so well on clay. And everyone knows that about her. And she lost two competitions. There was a whole 6 weeks of clay court play before French Open started on Sunday. And she didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
So she was nervous about her losing. She needs to learn how to lose and she needs to learn how to win. And
talk to reporters.
And talk, I don't know. I want to support her, but I do think...
Hold that thought. We're going to come back. I feel like you have more lessons.
No, I don't. Okay, whatever. But, I mean, we've heard from a lot of different people. There's so many different opinions out there.
Welcome back to My Talk Sports Central. We also have a thing we're asking people, should Rocco's mullet stay or should it go now?
That's the big question.
Is that on Instagram?
That's on Instagram. Okay.
Should it stay or should it go?
No, I voted it should stay.
Oh, thank you.
But you can check it out on the My Talk Instagram.
But I had, I was singing the Clash,
Should I stay or should I go now?
Uh-huh. It looks so good. So we're just going back to our sports talk for a second with about... Naomi Osaka withdrawing from the French Open after getting in a standoff, basically, versus the sports media, the tennis establishment, and all four major tournaments. And they said it. You can't. I mean, two. But why did she take the advice and announce ahead of 2 days before the tournament started that she would not be going back to do?
It was probably bad
general
advice
press
from somebody. It was just bad. It was bad advice.
Why would you tell somebody in advance you're going to break the rules? Okay, you always, do it, ask forgiveness later. Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness later.
Right.
Do not do that. And to me, that seems like basic. Who's giving her such crappy advice? Or did she just write an Insta from her heart and not think of everything?
Through the ramifications. Could have been that. I mean, she played really well.
But I got to believe someone that's a $50 million a year athlete that you have people that are like looking at all your crap.
Absolutely. Well, here's the deal. Well, the major championship people have changed their tune already. So today because yesterday it's like, if you're going to play at these, you're going to be fined and we're going to disqualify you. So they said on behalf of Grand Slams, which are the four big tennis events, we wish to offer Naomi our support and assistance in any way possible. She takes time away from the court. She's an exceptional athlete. We look forward to her return as soon as she deems appropriate. And then they go on and say mental health is a very challenging issue, blah, 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 blah. Thank you. Other tennis players,
Martina took down her tweet.
I know.
But it was said nothing. She just said, tried to make a situation. Naomi Osaka tried to make a situation better for herself and others with French open media boycott, but inadvertently made it worse. I don't know why she had to take that down.
I don't either. Yeah. Everyone is so afraid of everything. And Billie Jean King supported her, but Billie Jean King said the press is part of the gig. And when Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova and Chrissy Everett were going,
I can never say her name.
Yeah. I can't say her name.
She in Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, she was. Right. She was. And but when they were growing up, women's tennis had no eyeballs. So they like fed the press everything because they needed the attention in the media and they weren't getting paid right and blah, blah, blah.
Well, maybe watch. I think Chris Everett was on the Today Show. Watch and see what she said, because the one thing that she said that just stood out to me was that she said, well, they could do a better job of making sure everyone that's credentialed for tennis is that the credentials are solid.
Sure.
And I think what she was referring to is, I don't know if
people
there's
like
some,
you and I being there,
maybe, or tabloid right, or something right, like right. people that don't write about sports or something.
Sure.
And Patrick did say that European, it's very different in Europe. So basically, I was got the sense that she was just saying, hey, they just kind of let anybody Tom back there. And some people go back there to try and make
instigate.
And she's like, that shouldn't be the same way. And it made me think of Harry trying to change the Royal Rota.
Yes.
Like, why do we have tabloid journalists that make up stuff about everything? Why do they get credentials to Buckingham Palace stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we cut them off? So Chrissy kind of, that's what I felt that she was alluding to, European press.
Right.
Or yes, if you and I got credentialed
right.
to be backstage.
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not right. Just sit in your chair and tape. Sit in your chair and tape.
Anyway, and Serena Williams, you know, has come out and said,
But Serena really, like, did she start all of this with Naomi with that whole day?
Well, we don't know what was the instigator. I just hope.
It's shocking the tennis world. My brother was quite heated about it.
Well, I was bummed because, you know, she's an excellent tennis player and you want to watch her. This just isn't her favorite surface.
Yeah.
And she's insecure about it.
Yeah.
She was trying to protect that. Whatever. Move on. But
I mean, I kind of feel like she's made it worse for herself.
She's made it so bad.
But I want her to be okay. But
absolutely. And there's this is opening up a whole conversation for everybody.
And maybe this will make her stronger to be in such a kerfuffle.
And this isn't the first time my son pointed out, you know, there's so many football players who just show up at the press conferences and they don't want to say anything. They say, we're here because we have to.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't the first.
I appreciate that. I would like some belligerence from Naomi Osaka.
I'm sitting here today
to tell you that belligerence is not as bad as people make
there
it out to
go.
Be.
There we
All
go.
Right, can we remember some amazing lives?
Yes.
We have three amazing lives to remember. Rocco, let's start with the song.
Yeah, and the Candlebars biking her around and they're laughing and giggling.
Iconic romantic movie scene. That's B.J. Thomas, who passed away at the age of 78. It was an Oklahoma native, and he loved baseball besides music. But when he was a kid, there were so many kids named Billy Joe.
Isn't that funny?
That they started calling him B.J. Thomas because in Oklahoma there were lots of Billy Joes.
And
you know?
And it's before everyone knew B.J. meant other things.
Right. And but anyway, he died at home and he broke through. His first hit was a gospel cover of Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, which is a great country song. I mean, just epic. And he sold millions of records. His big year was 1976.
Okay.
Pop, number one pop, adult, and country with Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song. Now, just that.
Even the title of that song. Hey. Won't you play?
I think Rocco might have that song for us.
I had grabbed Hooked on a Feeling and okay. just can't help believe it, but I can find that one.
Okay, and then Home Where I Belong, and Dionne Warwick did duets with B.J. Thomas, and she tweeted about him, and Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Of course, number one, it won an Oscar for Best Original Song as the soundtrack to the biggest movie of 1969, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids. Anyway, but Raindrops was composed by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, and Ray Stevens turned the songwriters down. He didn't want to record it, but B.J. Thomas recorded it, and he kind of had like a scratchy throat when he mm-hmm. recorded it. So, and Raindrops, that's has shown up in everything from The Simpsons to Forrest Gump to it's in the Grammy Hall of Fame as its own standalone song because of the movie. And yeah, he was recovering from laryngitis when he recorded that.
Oh, really?
And so it's just raspier than usual. And Robert Redford was horrified and appalled. He was like, that song, that happy song, has no place in our cowboy
movie.
And he said, when it was released, I was highly critical of how in the hell did that song fit with the film? There was no rain.
I kind of agree with him. It kind of comes out of nowhere.
It does.
Yeah, I know, but like, what is a Burt Bacharach song doing in this cowboy movie?
At the time, he told USA Today this in 2019, at the time it seemed like a dumb idea. How wrong was I?
Well, good for him.
And then BJ Thomas would later say the phenomenon of that song exacerbated an addiction to pills and alcohol that had gone back to his teens. So anyway, by the time he wrote 19 or that Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song, he felt like he was number 1,000. He just like was burnt out and stuff.
Okay.
At the bottom. But he also sang the theme song for a 1980s sitcom, Rocco.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Greatest American Hero. Mm-hmm.
1980s sitcom.
That's right. Growing Pains.
He did.
That is BJ Thomas.
Let me see if I can find that.
Singing that. Wow. And then, of course, Hooked on a Feeling, which he covered, and then also Blue Sweet.
We could sing that on a Friday.
We could. Okay, so he just sounded like a cool cat and a half and really amazing voice.
What did he die of?
He died of cancer.
Oh, okay.
Died of cancer. And then Gavin McLeod died. Murray Slaughter from Mary Tyler Moore and the Captain Stubbe. He's 90.
I loved the love.
So did I.
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I want to be Julie so bad.
So bad.
So Ed Asner's got to be the only one left for Mary Tyler Moore.
He and Betty White.
I suppose, yeah, she was kind of a minor character, right? But
Ed tweeted, "My heart is broken. Gavin was my brother, my partner in crime and food, and my comic conspirator. And he died at home in Palm Desert. And his daughter said, he had one of the most amazing, fun blasts of life of anybody I know."
Oh, fun. What a great thing to say.
Isn't that?
Yes.
And he originally tested to be Lou Grant.
Okay.
And he just knew he wasn't right for the blustery, short-tempered news director. He said, "Could I be the wisecracking TV news writer?" Mm-hmm. And so he did. And then, of course, television history, because he was brilliant. Mary Tyler Moore, she pulled the plug after 7 years.
I know.
Short. And then he moved on to The Love Boat, which any show that can boast audience or guest stars of Gene Kelly to Janet Jackson has a slice of mm-hmm. Hollywood history that no one else will ever be able to touch.
There's a 24-hour Love Boat channel on Pluto TV.
Is there really?
So you can pretty much tune it on anytime.
I mean, Charo and they had everybody on that show. And, Farrah, they would have the hot flaming star of the moment. And he then got hired for, do you remember the cruise line?
Princess.
That's right.
I know it was Princess.
He was, mm-hmm. and his memoir was called "This Is Your Captain Speaking," and he wrote about that losing his hair at an early age made it really tough for him to break into acting. That's why he was older when he became, because he was like in his 30s.
Got it.
And he said, "Yeah, I went all over town looking for an agent, but no one wanted to represent a young man with a bald head."
Okay, funny.
So he went and bought himself a hairpiece, but by middle age, he didn't need it. So.
They were popular back in the day.
Yes, they were. So, anyway, it makes me want to watch Love Boat.
Yeah, Pluto TV.
All right. All right.
I also think maybe, if you have Paramount Plus.
Okay.
You can watch some Love Boat.
Oh, good Lord.
Good Lord. All right.
What happened to Channel 5?
I know. Speaking of TV, we'll be right back with some television news. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Well, America woke up today and said, well, maybe even yesterday they did. What the hell are we going to talk about now that Mayor of Easttown is over? Because the finale was Memorial Sunday night, but I know people, that was like the first thing people did when they got home, unless you just got home this morning like you.
I will watch it after tennis tonight.
Yeah. Julia, you're...
was I right?
No, I'm not going to say anything, but we really expected that this would be under your belt. Rocco and I were like, we couldn't wait on Friday because it's like, okay, people will have...
I watched Friends.
So did we.
Yeah.
I missed
this one.
And you're behind the zeitgeist, and you're going to have to avoid everything Kate Winslet, spoiler. It's out there.
I agree. I tried to, and I pulled up like the Washington Post, and I saw a headline. I'm like,
All I saw in headlines about Kate Winslet was how much she loves her at-home husband, whose name used to be Rock and Roller, who's changed it back to a real name.
Yeah.
And her son, Bear, is seven.
Yeah.
That's all I read. I didn't read one spoiler headline because I don't want to know. I can't wait to go watch it.
Yeah. It's HBO's second water cooler hit of the year following The Undoing.
Right.
But it's better than The Undoing.
Way.
And it's seven episodes, the same as The Undoing.
Which is a really good number, I think.
I think so. And so we know everything, and we know that this show is going to get nominated. Julie... you know, the friend who plays Lori, Julianne Nicholson with the freckles. Yes. She's so good. And
what has she been in before?
She's been in
many things. If you Google her, she's a character actor that just comes on strong. But anyway, they certainly left it open for another Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, they
for
did.
Sure. For sure. And, you know, here's what I would say about that. If HBO thinks, you know, if everyone wants to be involved, they'll certainly do it. They did it with Big Little Lies,
right?
And that wasn't nearly as good or anything like that, but it's still people turned out, and I think they could have another case. I didn't realize Mayor of Easttown was based on a book. Royce told us that.
Royce told us that. Julianne was in I, Tonya. She was in...
I was just looking at that.
Many things. A lot of things.
Masters of Sex.
I love her freckles.
We knew her from something when she was really young with all those freckles. I just can't remember what it was.
She's been acting for a long time.
She's really good.
And we'll just have to talk about that tomorrow, Julia. We'll set aside our excitement for our water cooler talk, but you get 106 minutes, six more minutes.
I need time.
And I do know that the guy who created the show, or who's the director, showrunner, and Kate Winslet have said yes, they would be open to doing a second.
And just changing the storyline, like True Detectives, just picking a completely different storyline.
That's right.
But you've got the base characters.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know the daughter is Australian? The woman who plays Siobhan?
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
She was so good.
I heard her do an interview. I'm like, what?
She's so good. And then she can really sing. And
yep.
I got the
two guys I got mixed up. I thought they looked alike, even though one wore glasses, one didn't. But Frank, you know, her ex-husband.
Yes.
And then Lori's husband. I kept getting
those
kind
of beardy and big
burly guys.
Yeah, burly guys. And they were interchangeable. I'd be like, Casey would go, Mayor's ex has glasses. Keep it straight. Because I'd be like, I can't remember.
And I didn't recognize that Mayor's ex is like Pam's ex on The Office.
You're exactly right. That's who that is.
And I didn't recognize him at all.
I did.
Burlier and beardier.
I want to ask one more thing.
Yeah.
Did it deliver?
Oh, yes. Did it deliver?
Okay.
It was.
Oh, I'm so excited that I still have this to look forward to.
Epic,
all right,
Julia.
Good.
Okay,
good.
So, and then speaking of epic, so I just want to show. Let me get this up for YouTube.
Oh yeah, Matt LeBlanc.
So Matt LeBlanc. Based on that, on the Friends reunion, we were like on Friday. He's the guy you want to have a party with.
Oh, beyond
so fun! But
and cousin Michael worked with him and said he is just the bomb.
But Irish Twitter decided that looked like their dear old da or uncle at family gatherings, and it's become an instant meme. Of Matthew Perry just enjoying Matt LeBlanc, arms crossed, leaning back, knowing his bank account is going to be $2
million. $2.5
just
million
for doing
each.
That. Yeah, just for doing that thing. And I think Matthew Perry should get the, really medal for doing that because he really did come from emergency dental surgery and he had to listen to James Corden talk like that?
You, how do you react right. to being Chandler right. on this show? Yeah. It's iconic.
Yeah, I mean, that would make, like, it makes my feelings crazy. Hurt. It makes my feelings.
Oh, you drove me crazy.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
No, but I felt bad for him, I told you. And then I just felt bad for him as I'm watching it because he just felt so out of place. But he was on, he wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the, all of the, you know, the Kaufman, Crane, and Brightman,
yes.
the LA Times did a follow-up interview with them, and they just said it was, they're all doing so well, and everybody's just, like, happy, because he really did in the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, he went to rehab, like, yes. four times, and he turned his Malibu house into
a sober house,
yep. and then got rid of it when it became, like, how expensive that is to run that,
right.
and he's had some things, but they just said, no, he was such a trooper, we couldn't believe that he came and showed up day of filming, even though he had some kind of dental emergency and he had to go, and he came from having his mouth numbed.
Yep.
And all of that. So, but they just said, yeah, he's in a great place. And they were all just so genuinely happy to see each other, as were we.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
There were a couple things that I just thought we
didn't need.
The fashion show thing was silly.
The international blah, blah, blah.
Your BTS boys were on it.
I know. They didn't need to be.
David Beckham.
Yeah, he didn't need to be.
Friends is everything to me.
The magic.
And Mr. Bill.
I would have liked more of them just sitting around. They were, yeah.
They were delightful.
And I loved Lady Gaga when she came for
Did
the
you
show.
Like
oh,
that?
Yeah. I liked it quite a bit. Yeah.
You know what? I thought it was super fun. And it doesn't even matter if you know what it's going to be about, because you see the charm of that group of people.
Yes.
And you see they're charming together.
And also, like, how great for them that they all got to become famous at the same time. And they did the stick together and negotiated
yes.
as friends. And they all got good. No one became
the star.
And so kind of an unusual, unique circumstance. I mean, maybe like the Hills kids became famous, but these guys became famous and rich, and they stuck together, and
yeah.
they had each other's, so they really became real life friends. You just couldn't make the story
it was
up.
So good.
It was so good, and I loved what Jennifer Aniston wore to the fancy.
Oh my gosh!
Reunion, that jumpsuit with the flared.
I always
like. I love her style.
She's classic. She's mm-hmm. classic style.
Yep. And then when the bug landed in Lisa Kudrow's
that was hysterical. He feels about bugs like we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they're, and the casting, I could have kept hearing. I loved
Same,
that
I thought
was
that
one of the
was
best
fascinating.
Parts. Really good.
Yeah, because they really went through some things finding the right people for those characters. That's the Friends reunion on HBO Max.
That's right. And if you'd like to look at Reggae Jean Page, who is covering the Hollywood Reporter, I believe, or the Variety, we've posted that hot, handsome picture for you. You're welcome.
We'll be back.